Hey guys, Paddy here once again, and thank you as always and once again for downloading the It's Not All About Me podcast, a podcast featuring a guy with a mic and ME for people who have ME CFS or know and love somebody who have ME CFS, or even if you're just ambivalent about somebody with ME CFS, this is you've come to the right place. We do a good line in ambivalence. Lost it really quickly this week. That's a new record, I think. 30 seconds in. Absolutely mangled it completely. So, hi. Thanks. Come in. Sit down. This week, if you follow me on Twitter, on Zero All About Me, you'll know that this has been a tough week for me. I had a few days ago... probably my worst crash ever, midweek last week. Really, really bad one, you know. It was a scary time, and it was a frustrating time. It was not good, not a good time at all. I couldn't move. It was as bad as it gets for me. I'm grateful, very grateful, exceedingly grateful to have the red light on and to be recording again with you guys, because that was deeply, deeply unpleasant, to put it mildly. Having said that, still, and before the crash, I sat down and had a good little chat with your friend and mine, Jack Croxall, and that chat is coming up. I probably won't say too much more before the chat. We'll launch straight into it. It's about 25 minutes. And, I'm really grateful for Jack coming on the show and talking and sharing his experience of ME/CFS. Probably should say two things before I launch straight into the chat with Jack. And that is, first of all, as I said, little did I know while we were having this conversation, I was leading up to a super heavy crash. So I would say it's probably fair to say I'm a little bit more bumbly than I have been recently. Maybe searching for words a little bit more than you might be used to. I don't think it has a major effect. Jack did a fantastic job on the show, as you will, I am absolutely sure, agree. So I don't think it has any major effect, but just a warning, you know, that maybe I was a little less on form than I might have been in the past. And secondly, I'm not sure why, but there is maybe two or three instances where my microphone gets a little bit fuzzy. I'm not sure why. It doesn't affect. You can hear it perfectly. It's maybe, you know, 4 or 5 seconds at a time in a 25-minute, 28-minute chat. So again, shouldn't affect things, but I'm just saying that up front. You know, I don't know what happened. I'll have a look into it this week. With that said, though, I think it was a fantastic chat. I had a great time getting to know Jack a little bit better. I won't say much more. I don't really like doing a guest introduction before the interview, before the chat, because I like people to give people the chance to introduce themselves to you guys. So I probably won't say much more. We'll launch straight into the chat, and I will talk to you after the chat and talk about what's coming up next week and give you the information on how you can get in touch and all that kind of good stuff. So for now, here is the chat that I had this week with Jack Croxall. Enjoy. And we're here with Jack. Jack, hey, thank you so much for coming on the show. How are you doing today?
I'm okay. Thanks very much, Paddy. Thank you for having me on the show. I'm very excited to be here.
You're very welcome. You're very welcome. What's the same question, I guess, I started with previous guests. How's the levels today? How are you feeling health-wise? How present is the illness on this day?
Yeah, a little bit tired today, a little bit foggy, but that's very much kind of the default. Not too bad. A bit mitigated by the fact that I'm excited to be chatting with you because I listen to the podcast, so I'm very pleased to be on. In general, I've been plateaued for quite a while, which is a word that I use. I'm not sure if a relapse. I was improving, but I got, I think it was just some sort of flu or a bad cold, and it just sort of knocked me back a bit and lowered my baseline. And yeah, I've been sort of plateaued for a while. I haven't been improving or getting worse. I've just been at a similar level, I would say.
You said there that the illness today has been mitigated by the excitement of being on the show. I hope we can rise to that expectation. But do you find that that kind of spike of adrenaline? I find that quite difficult actually to deal with. I've read kind of your stuff, and I've heard you on other podcasts, and you're an enthusiastic guy. You know, you get enthused by things. Do you find that difficult to manage? I find that a problem for myself, that I have to be careful with something that would normally be seen as something really positive.
Absolutely. I mean, you've hit the nail on the head, really. It's adrenals, isn't it? You have to be careful that you don't get too excited and too wired, too enthusiastic when you do something, because you end up paying for it later. I mean, we all experience a crash. And I spend a lot of time trying to sort of manage, because you're right, I get so excited about just the fact that I'm doing a podcast, or, oh, I'm seeing someone I like today, or, oh, I'm going on a walk, it'll be so much fun. And I have to sort of just, you know, slow down. I have this little thing that I do where I try and close my eyes and take 5 deep breaths between every time I switch an activity. So if I say I'm resting and then I'm going to go, even if it's just something like going on the computer to write something, even just an email, before I get on with it, I'll just close my eyes, take 5 deep breaths, and just try and make sure I don't become a bit of an, you know, soaked in adrenaline, nervous wreck.
I can get so much. That is the laughter of identification right there. I love that. Already we've got a top tip. That's fantastic. The 5 breaths between action. And as you say, it's as minute and to perhaps other people insignificant as changing from watching the TV to going and writing on the computer, things that people would switch between without a second thought. But for us, that is, it's worthy of taking a pause in between, isn't it? And making sure we're resetting ourselves as much as possible.
Yeah, I mean, with this illness with ME/CFS, you have to reconsider everything you do. Like you said, you wouldn't have given a second thought to standing up from the telly to go and wash some dishes or cook a dinner or go out and see your friends or even just take a shower. You have to reconsider everything you do. Slow down, because before I got ill, I was very much a type A. I was 100 miles an hour or sleep. I threw myself into everything. And that kind of approach to life, I've been ill for about 8 years now. I found it just does not work. It's completely not compatible with life with ME/CFS.
Again, I can absolutely identify. And that's, I think there's that from my diagnosis to this very day, I am still struggling massively with that acceptance. You know, I hope to gain more acceptance of the illness. But then I think I've spoken quite a few times and recently about equating accepting the illness with almost rolling over and feeling a little bit like giving in to the illness. I haven't found a sweet spot yet where I can live with it.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. Again, you're ringing all sorts of bells with me, because it's such a difficult balancing act. You think, right, well, maybe I should just rest all the time and I should give up as much as I can get away with giving up and just lie there and wait to get better. But that's not going to help. I mean, you had Jess Goyder on your podcast, mm-hmm. and she was talking about how important it is to think about the health of your spirit, of your soul, as well as your body. And you can't just focus on one and ignore the other, because it'll just send you the wrong way into a bit of a downward spiral. If I don't get out enough, even though there are consequences to leaving the house, even just for a good walk or to see a friend in a nearby village, if I don't do that, it affects my physical health as well.
Yeah,
Absolutely. I think on a really good day, I might say that I'm almost grateful for elements of this illness because it has made me, having a chronic illness has made me healthier of mind, body, and spirit than I've ever been because I have to be aware of that, you know? And I'd probably say that on a good day, you know, whenever I've meditated several times, I've been out and I'm eating healthy, because these are things that I took for granted and didn't pay enough attention to in the past. Obviously, on bad days, you know, I find it difficult to be grateful.
Yeah, I mean, how are you getting on with meditation? It's not something I've tried.
I'm it's the kind of the flavor of my month at the moment. So I'm being quite strict with it. Again, you talked about Jess Goiter there on her interview. Whenever she was on the show, she talked and in the talk she did at the Chipping Norton Wellfest in 2016, I think it was, she spoke about having to be really strict with stopping her day in the middle of the day and doing, you know, 45 minutes of meditation no matter what. Kind of like you were saying there about taking the 5 second pause of deep breaths in between changing activities. So I'm trying to be strict like that at the moment, and I've got my alarms going off at midday and at 4 o'clock, and I'm starting my day with a meditation between 15 minutes and 45 minutes. And I'm finding it really quite good. And what I'm also doing
Oh,
is
wonderful.
I'm also following the meditation with 10 minutes of reading as well, because something I miss so very dearly is diving into a good book, and my head just won't. I just don't have the capacity anymore because of the fog, you know. So I'm kind of trying to add that when I'm nice and rested. I'm trying to take advantage of that and then read a book for 10 minutes as well, so I can. You know, I can at least get through the never-ending and ever-increasing bookshelves of books in the house that I can't get onto yet, you know? So I'm finding it useful at the moment. But like Jess said, and as you're familiar with, it's finding the puzzle pieces with this darn illness, isn't it?
Yeah, that's why I'm interested, because it's not something I've tried, and I want to try everything and see what works for me, what doesn't work for me. I mean, that's one of the great things about this little community that's growing online of sufferers of chronic illness. They can share what's worked for them, and you can pick up tips and you can try it. And it's strange, because what works for one person won't work for another and might even make them worse. Or something that gives you a little tiny little bit of a boost might be the game changer for someone else. And so I need to try meditation. How do you even start? Are there tutorials?
I started, I'm trying to remember. Well, I would say, and I think probably a lot of people would argue as well, that you're already there with your 5 second breaths, you know, your five deep breaths. It's just about, I think, extending that. Now, the people I like the Meditation Minis podcast. It's run by a woman called Shel Hamilton, and there's hundreds of 10 minute meditations on there, and they're guided meditations, so you just sit somewhere comfortably and she just kind of takes you on a nice gentle meditation, and you don't need to do anything but sit comfortably and breathe. That is one I always go to and recommend to people to start with,
Oh,
a nice
fantastic.
guided meditation. So check out Shel Hamilton's
Oh, I
Meditation
will.
Minis,
I
you
absolutely will.
know. I think that's a nice place to start. And then after that, it's just grabbing. Somebody mentioned some Dru yoga meditation to me yesterday, which I'm going to check out. But as you say, I'm so grateful for the community that I have now begun to participate in online with people with chronic illness, because there are so many daily. There is if there isn't, you know, if you're having a down day, there's so many people to hit you back and say, you know, I feel you, I identify, I hope it's better later. And if you're having a good day and think, I could try something new today, you send out a tweet or a Facebook and people come back with so many wonderful ideas. I'm really grateful for that. I share your gratitude. I really do.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. And it makes me feel so sad for people, because, I mean, really, social media has only been around for, what, 10, 15 years at most. And this condition has been around for a long, long time. So think of all the people that could have benefited from it if it and didn't have it and didn't have that support network that you can just instantly access. It's an incredible thing. And also there's another facet to it, because that it's like an echo chamber. If all these voices are combining and saying that there is this problem, society isn't doing enough, the medical community, whilst it's very, very good in some ways, isn't putting enough money into funding it. We're so isolated all the time, you know, we're lying in our rooms, we're sitting in the dark, we're alone. But when we can come together online, I really think you were talking about the parliamentary debate, weren't you, on one of your previous episodes. So I really feel like a corner has been turned, and things, I feel hopeful that things are going to change. And I think social media is a huge part of that.
Yeah, I share that hope. I think that's a really, really good point. I think we're developing this resource. You're right, echo chamber. That's put perfectly. You know, this is now a collective experience that can be packaged and presented to the world, and it's an ever reminder. I thought the noise that was raised about the parliamentary debate in the UK in London, I thought was fantastic. I was so proud of the community for the ruckus that we made on that day, and that can really keep you going, you know.
I completely agree. Yeah, the day of it, open my phone up and look on Twitter, there's videos, there's people sharing it, there's articles going up, and crucially, not just people who have the illness, there's people who know someone with it, people who have seen how it affects loved ones or friends, and they're tweeting about it, they're sharing it, they're saying things need to change. So it's like it's spreading through wider society. We're not just talking to each other, you know. It's so good to see.
Yeah, absolutely. And talking of shared experience, you said you've had the illness now for around 8 years. How do you feel about taking us through your story and how it started and what happened to you?
Yeah, happy to do that. Always happy to share my experience. So it's been about 8 years, and 8 years ago I was living in London. I was trying to become a science journalist, and I'd done my undergraduate degree. I'd got some experience working at a BBC Factual, and I was doing a postgraduate science journalism course at London University. And like with so many other people, one day I just woke up and I had a really bad case of the flu. Didn't think too much of it. Thought, I'll just stay in bed for a couple of days, get over it. A couple of days turned to a week, and a week turned to 2 weeks. And then I run out of food because I didn't have, I couldn't go out and get food. So I dragged myself out of bed at about 2 weeks, and I sort of crawled towards the supermarket near Shepherd's Bush where I lived, and just going around the aisles, packing up a basket with a few essentials. I could see, you know, in cartoons when it starts to get black and the black starts to move in on your vision and there's like a little circle of light, and that was happening. And I thought, oh my God, I've got to get home before this little circle of light turns to black. Wow. And I got to the tills, and unfortunately I hadn't done it in time because I passed out.
Oh, wow.
I passed out in the queue at the supermarket, fell backwards. And a few seconds later, I sort of opened my eyes and my head was pounding. I was lying on the concrete floor in a supermarket, looking up, thinking, what's going on? I could just sort of see people looking at me. So that was the moment that I realized, well, something is seriously wrong here, because this shouldn't happen. And I didn't really improve. I managed to get home, thankfully, but I didn't really improve the days following. So it was around Christmas time. So I managed to get a train back home and continued to diminish once I was at home and couldn't go back to university. I think a lot of people will recognize that the sort of thing that was going on where I was scared. I didn't know what was happening. A few weeks ago, I could cycle for 25 miles and barely break a sweat, and now I could hardly stand up. So then it was time to go to, the doctors and try and find out what was going on and use the internet to try and figure it out, which is always a bad idea because it says, you have minutes to live whenever you type in your symptoms to Dr. Google. But eventually I was able to get a CFS diagnosis. It took a while, and so it was a long time. I was probably bedbound for about a year, more or less bedbound, then housebound for another year, and then I started to improve. I was writing, I was working, not doing science journalism. I was writing fiction, and I found that helped. And I was very gradually, I started writing a sentence a day, and then I could maybe get to two sentences a day, and then I could write a paragraph. So I was doing that, working on my first book, and my baseline was improving all the time. But maybe 3 or 4 years in, I was very unlucky. I just had another episode of the flu, and it just really set me right back. I had a bad crash, and really lowered my baseline. And yeah, that was the plateau I was talking a bit about at the beginning. So I'm sort of still there, really. So that's kind of my story of how I got my diagnosis and how the illness first affected me.
Thanks for sharing that experience. That's a lot, again, so much identification with that. The thing with whenever I spoke to Jess, she was talking about going around the world. And I shared my experience of running a marathon. And you wrote several books, starting, one line at a time and then increasing. Mm-hmm. The shattering disappointment whenever that doesn't continue to flourish and thrive and you crash again, it's incredibly hard to deal with, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a serious blow when you think you've been miserable for sometimes years at a time, and for some people it can be decades. So I mean, but you do if in the lucky cases like me, you do start to improve and you can do something. And where was I when it happened? I was about halfway through my third novel, and I was completely devastated because I was desperate to finish it. I mean, I have finished it since, but it was right, go straight back to where I was with a sentence a day rather than, I think I was, before the crash, I was writing a chapter a week. And after, it was, if I can write anything, I'll just be pleased. And it's kind of like a big psychological blow, like you allude to. And it took me a while to get over that. I mean, I've finished that book, but I haven't started another one since. I've had to redefine myself almost again and find writing that I can do, which is easier, because obviously writing a novel is, I mean, it's still, you lay a brick at a time, and it's not, if you think about it, a sentence at a time, it's not too difficult. But trying to hold an entire world and an entire storyline in a brain fog head, a foggy head where you can't even, you can't remember who hates who and who loves who and what's going on. So I've had to scale back a bit since then.
Oh man, that's brilliant. And that kind of brings me on talking about scaling back taking your gifts, skills, talents, whatever you want to call them, and then applying them to a slightly different arena. Because I can identify, that's what's led me to doing this show. You're writing, you've written regular blogs now, and I was reading one this morning, which gave me, again, so much identification, and it's kind of connected to what we were talking. One of the hardest things I found whenever my health didn't continue that upward trajectory after the marathon and life didn't go back to normal, one of the hardest things was dealing with other people, in fact. You know, the people mm-hmm. who love you, who want the best for you, and then them, the kind of the confusion that can cause them as well. And then you get the guilt and anxiety on yourself of, boy, I thought he was better. He just ran a marathon, or he just wrote a book, you know.
Yeah.
Why is he not, you know, back to the dude that we remember anymore? You wrote a blog that really touched me this morning, where you spoke quite a bit about people's comments and how to deal with things like you don't seem that ill and that sort of thing.
Yeah. Oh, well, firstly, thank you for reading that. Yeah, it's I think it's such a difficult illness to understand when you haven't lived it. I mean, I remember when I was at school and a girl had ME. I think we were doing our A levels, and I mean, if I think about what I thought about it then, I knew she was ill. I knew she couldn't come in and she was struggling, but until you've lived it, until you really experience the cruelty of this illness, it's difficult to explain. And that leads on to the fact that people around you can often be confused and frustrated because you know, you have family obligations to fill. You want to get out and see your friends. You want to make time for people. You can't always do that. I mean, I'm quite lucky that I have people around me who do understand and who have taken the time to look into it and talk to me and work out what it's all about and how this is going to affect our relationship together, whatever that relationship might be. But yeah, you come across people in life that aren't going to understand. And I think the article you mentioned, I was just trying to share experiences, how to deal with the comments that we all hear. You know, everyone listening to this who has ME, CFS, or maybe even other chronic illnesses will have heard, but you don't look ill. Oh, I'm tired all the time. I still have to go to work. Oh, I'd love to watch TV all day like you do. You know, each one of them is like a sledgehammer to your very soul almost. And yeah, I was frustrated with that. So I wrote, I think that was my first article for a website called allieseverywhere.org, which is a great website. It's designed to help people like me with CFS. It shares resources, and I think its mission is to offer resources and a sense of community to disenfranchised groups. So not just people with ME, CFS, but yes, I've been writing a few things for them. And I found it quite therapeutic, actually. I mean, you do this podcast, I bet this has helped you no end.
Massively, absolutely. It's it took me quite a long time. I think I said to with Jess, it took me a long, long time to be comfortable with engaging with the chronic illness or ME CFS community. You know, I think that's part of the acceptance thing. I didn't want to be as ill as the people I was meeting, you know? I just Absolutely. Wasn't prepared to accept that.
There's almost a sense of denial. There's a sense of when you look into it and you see how bad some people have it, even worse than you, think, well, I can't go on here and complain. Look how bad this person has it. There's the other side of things where you think, well, this person's got better. Am I doing something wrong? Am I not trying as hard? I would encourage, and I bet there's someone listening to this who hasn't engaged with the community, no matter what level your CFS or ME at, no matter how much inhibits you or doesn't inhibit you, get online and start talking to people. It's, like I said, it's so therapeutic.
Absolutely. I think that's well said. Well said. I would second that to the end. You've found another really cool outlet like myself in the world of podcasting. And you've spoken before. You have a podcast that started early this year called Game Chat.
Yeah, Game Chats, and, that's right.
Game Chats. And you've spoken before about the therapeutic and the benefits of gaming with an illness.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how similar we are, Paddy. We seem to be living the same lives, or somewhat similar lives. Yeah, gaming. My girlfriend is a video games journalist, so she has been doing video games podcasting, and she writes for video game sites for a while. But I've always been a massive gamer, and I've really got back into it since I got ill. I sort of always delved into, like, you know, Mario Kart and things like that when you're around at a friend's house. But I've really found a benefit, because a lot of the time when you're ill with CFS, you can't get out and explore. I love the outdoors. I used to be I used to kayak, I used to run, I used to cycle. I've always been really into fishing and just walking, and a lot of the time I just don't have the energy to go out for more than a few minutes at a time. And I really miss that exploration, that sense of adventure, being out in the world. And in games, you can do that from the comfort of your own sofa. You can fire up, say like Zelda. I'm sure a lot of people know what Zelda is, a sort of an open world game. And you can explore this amazing place, and you can interact with characters, you can get into adventures and get into mishaps and do things that you can't do. And even more important than that, you forget, or if you're lucky, you can forget about your illness, which is always in the background of my mind no matter what I'm doing. Usually, if I find when I'm gaming, I can sort of forget that for a while and escape into another world, and it's really cathartic. It just helps so much, even though it's a virtual world, of course. It should never replace the real world, but it can. Again, it's that mitigation. It's that mitigation of the effects of the illness, and I feel it really helps with that. I mean, are you using it in a similar vein, Paddy?
Yeah, I think I am. But I draw so much inspiration from talking to other people and hearing their experiences, because what I'm going to take from this conversation today is this balance that you seem to push yourself to strike between sofa time, be that Netflix or Zelda, and yeah, I really appreciate being able to just dip into a game like Zelda at the moment and take my mind off it, or another RPG where I'm strolling around rolling fields. But you strike that balance between doing that and getting out into the field yourself as much as possible. That seems quite important to you.
Absolutely. I mean, it's so, again, this, I think this, Jess Goyder on your last episode was talking about this as well. I mean, nature is so important. It's always been a huge part of my life. And I get so frustrated if I can't be out in the world, if I'm just looking at four walls and a computer screen and a TV screen. I mean, I wouldn't go as far to say as it's cabin fever, but it's a yearning that needs to be fulfilled, and I want to go out. I mean, I have a dog, so I'm lucky enough that I've got my lovely Archie, and I can take him out for walks every day. I'm able to do that. I'm very grateful for that, because just that little 15-20 minutes a day of being out out amongst trees, and, you know, listening to the birds sing and just seeing what I can see, maybe even running into someone, having a little chat, you know, that's something that I fight hard not to lose. Even if it will cost me, I might get some aches, some fatigue pains or some brain fog. And even if I know that that will happen before I go for a little walk, and I try not to push it, I try not to overdo it, but it's important that I do it. And especially on sunny days, I'm a bit of a fair weather dog walker. Don't like the rain.
But I think that's it. That's so key, I think, is that that perseverance in, I don't know, I want to use the word battling I want to use an aggressive term, but I think sometimes it's not smart to fight the illness. But I think one has to keep a cold war. I think one has to keep a cold war maintained, a certain level of resistance that says that, yeah, this is going to cost me, but I'm going to do it. You know, I think we need to do that, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, what is life? It's for living. If you can live as best you can, you should. But you should always think, what's the balance? Again, we're going back to balance, aren't we? What's the balance I can strike here? How long can I go for a walk for before it's going to affect me badly? And then you need to be disciplined, because you can start walking and say, oh, this is fine. I'm just going to go further. I'm going to go further. It's going to be great. And you have to be mindful of that and wary of that.
I think this is it. It's that discipline, but the waking up every morning and saying, but I'm going to try something today, you know, and for all of us, that something is completely different. Some days for some people, it'll be something huge. And I was reading the other day on Twitter and I think commented on somebody who'd, you know, was celebrating the fact that they were wearing underwear that day. You know, and that's I can absolutely identify. You know, it's like, I'm gonna wash my hair today, damn it.
Yeah, you know? and good on them for sharing it. And
yes.
And when someone shares that, we should all say, great job, yeah, you've done well today. We should all support each other, no matter how small the victory. It is a victory, and it might not be a victory for someone else, it might be an everyday occurrence, but if someone says, I have achieved this today, the community should say, well done.
Yeah, and I feel they do. I
agree,
get that
yeah.
sense that, they're a good bunch of people. So I think, you know, we'll wrap up there. But I think your appeal to folks out there listening to this who may have the illness and haven't yet engaged with these lovely bunch of people that we've spoken about today, I completely echo that. I think it is a community that I am super grateful that I have decided, I took the chance to embrace. And these resources in whatever medium they take that we're building up to support each other. But also, as you say, with the debate, more and more people are hearing. The millions missing are becoming heard again through their strategic use of modern technology, and that is an absolutely wonderful thing. So I would echo your sentiments that people dive in and get a Twitter account and start interacting in whatever way works for them, you know. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, completely. And we need you as well. We need people with different skills, because the movement to get better recognition and better biomedical research to eventually lead to better treatment and a cure, we need different people with different skill sets. So, yeah, please join in. Come and talk to me. I'm sure you're always open to talk to anyone, Paddy, and pretty much anyone I've met in the community usually is.
And how do they get in touch with you, Jack?
I'm on Twitter. I'm at Jack Croxall, and Croxall is spelled C-R-O-X-A-L-L. My website is jackcroxall.co.uk. I think Twitter's probably the best way, though, because I'll see it instantly. You know, you get an instant update on your phone, don't you? So I would say, yeah, that's the way.
Awesome. And I'm sure Jack is far too humble to actually reference directly the books that he's written. But I'm going to put a link to those as well in the show notes, as well as his podcast, which, if you're a gamer, I highly recommend you listen to. I checked it out earlier and I really enjoyed it. And I'm a subscriber now. So do check out Game Chats. Very, very good podcast.
Very kind of you to say, Paddy. Very kind of you. Thank you.
Does, man. All right. Well, hey, listen, maybe we'll have you again on in the future, but for now, thank you so much for coming and visiting with us.
Yeah, definitely. Anytime. And it's been a pleasure, Paddy. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Jack. Take care, man.
Bye.
So there we have it. Thank you so much, Jack, for coming on. I got so much, I hope you can tell, I got so much from that conversation. Jack seems like a really lovely chap.
and it was great to spend some time with him. He inspired me a lot, even though I had a really bad week last week. I rounded the week out inspired by Jack, by getting up and trying to strike that balance that we talked about between sofa time and exercise. And I've had, since I spoke to him, I've been out for three nice walks in the country where I live, and really, really enjoyed, appreciated it, feel invigorated. So it's fantastic to be able to just continue by sharing our experiences, just inspire one another, motivate one another to get these puzzle pieces in place, and hopefully, you know, just help each other to do our best to deal with this illness to the best of our ability. So absolutely grateful for Jack coming on. Let's just take a sec to go over all the different many wonderful projects Jack referenced in the chat, and I'll put these in the show notes as well, with so you can go and follow the links. But the blog that he wrote that I really recommend you check out, and he's done a few more for them as well since, is at allieseverywhere.org. That was an excellent blog. Check out his podcast, the Game Chats podcast, which is really good. Seriously, subscribe and get it if you're into video games. Really good. He is at Jack Croxall on Twitter, jackcroxall.co.uk. And yeah, go on Amazon and check out his books. I'm super excited, to be honest, to get into and have a little look at the books he's written. I actually asked him when the mic was off, I said, if you were to recommend one of your books, they're sci-fi books, and if he was to recommend one of them as a starting point, which would it be? So he said to check out Anchor Leg. So that is A-N-C-H-O-R-L-E-G, Anchor Leg, and that's available on Amazon. So check out that if you're into a bit of sci-fi as well. I'm really genuinely super excited about getting into it. Because I'll be honest with you, I'm not getting on with the Ferrante books, My Brilliant Friend. I don't know if I'm going to read book two. Just keep that between you. Don't tell my mother, because she really likes them. So just keep that between you and me. Shh, I might not finish it. I may read Jack's book instead. So just keep that between me and you. Okay. So what's coming up? Having thanked Jack, what's coming up? I'm not sure. I think next week, I wouldn't mind talking about my experiences this week. I think it'll be another one of those heavy podcasts. I get that feeling. Sharing genuine and true experience is our aim. And I think that I might do an episode next week on powerlessness, because that is how I felt this week, and it was truly awful. We'll find a cheery way of dealing with it. Come on, you know, we can do that together. But we did agree at the beginning of this little journey that we would deal with the realities of life with ME/CFS, and I certainly came face-to-face with them this week, and I think I'll probably talk about that next week. And then we've got more guests coming up. We're chatting to somebody in South Africa, I think, in a couple of weeks. We've got people from Northern Ireland, England. So listen, if you want to come on the show, please get in touch. And that is at @ZeroAllAboutMe on Twitter. On email, it's really not all about me. Find us on Facebook. It's Not All About Me podcast. And yeah, get in touch. And hey, do me a favor, would you? I was looking up I'm getting lots of really positive comments coming in from people, saying how the show is, you know, helping with the shared experience, the support that identification brings. So it would be really cool if we could kind of increase the reach of this show. All you need to do, if you're listening to this now on a podcast app or whatever, just take a second to maybe review it and give it a wee review there. I'd really appreciate that, and I think it'll increase the spread, the reach that we can get. So if you wouldn't mind subscribing to it, And that means you'll get, you know, the episodes new and freshly delivered out of the oven each week. And maybe give it a wee review. That would be very cool of you if you would, so we can increase the reach. Because as Jack said, the noise we're making at the moment serves so many wonderful purposes. It raises awareness of this illness that has been in the shadows for too long, and brings support, understanding, care, and compassion to people who are maybe having the kind of week I had last week. And I gotta tell you, I am so grateful to so many people. Whenever I posted I was having a crap time of it, so many people got in touch with me to, you know, to basically just say they understood and they were there for me. And I am incredibly grateful to you all for that. That's what, there we go. It's never, you know what? Times are bad sometimes, but it's not that hard to end on a note of gratitude. And that's really cool. So I think that's a really perfect place to leave it for this week. Bit of gratitude to you guys. Thank you very much, as always. And get in touch. Share your experiences in whatever way that works for you. And we will talk anon. We will talk anon, my friends. Until next week, take care of yourselves and each other. Bye.